Okay, thank you for the chance to present that work, which in fact started with the Millennium. And it turned out that when I approached the Millennium, I was also approaching 60s. And in France, you know, about this age, you are supposed to be unable to do anything new, interesting. So in fact, I thought that it was time maybe to completely lose the rest of the year I could work, or at least be paid by the National Center of Research, to do something that, in fact, to try to do better what I have seen, which is people for years were treating composite objects by a kind of bosonization procedure. And those bosonizations are supposed to work, quote, but I did not like the way they were done. And I think, okay, that maybe I can find a way to manipulate composite objects while keeping polyblocking between their fermionic components in an exact way, which is not what bosonization does. And it turned out that, of course, you know, up to that time, the only many-body procedures which exist were done for elementary boson or elementary fermions. And those people I know well, first my advisor, Philippe Nocière, to whom I talk, and also other people like Abrikosov, Leggett, Stetter, and all these people. I asked them, have you tried to construct some formalism for composite objects? And most of them say, yes, we were thinking of doing it, but we had no idea how to approach it. So when you have all those big names, even if you know them for years, telling that they have no idea, you may think that, you know, it's hopeless, it was hopeless to do something. But as I told you, I was starting to be old, so or considered as such, so I could lose my time. So I had an idea and rather confident, so I decided to start and to see if I was able to formalize the idea I had. It turned out that the way I am going to present the talk is, I will say, the opposite, which is, of course, I start by, as you, when you don't know things, it's much easier to do math than to understand. If the first thing is written and you are good in math, then you put a set of equal and you end with some result, which is correct. If you have done it 2-3 times, you don't know exactly what you done, but you found the result. What is very difficult is to understand what you find. And worse is to guess the result without making the calculation. So I have been very impressed by some of my colleagues, experimentalists, who just guess the result without any support. You know, for me, usually, even if I say it's obvious, like here, for example, of course, this is not obvious at all, I can tell you. You know. The sentence here, it's obvious, you know, from the why, where I start to understand, to this obvious, it was probably 8 years. Okay, roughly speaking. And this was between here and here only 2 years. So it means that it's easier to do math than to understand. Okay, and now this is from that time, that's now more 8 more years, so now I really control, and I can say that everything is completely obvious. But with some time, it can become obvious. So what I really want to show you is at the end of my talk, you will share that point of view that in the end, nobody has done it. But why? Because finally, it was not difficult at all. So the argument, then I start. So why it's a good idea to work with composite boson? And it turned out that even if this formalism, the first paper here are 2002 or something, essentially people don't know those work for a reason you can guess or invent or whatever. So it's nice because things, you know, still people work with fermions. They have very hard time. And in fact, for me, usually it's more or less 1 day or 2 days to get the same result at them, so it's still a positive aspect. So if you play with a pair of fermions, only one pair, this is trivial. Usually the potential between the two pairs is such that you can calculate the eigenstate more or less analytically in most cases, and you get the binding energy for the pair. The trouble comes when you start to work with two pairs. So up to now, even people bosonize these two pairs, and I will tell you later, explain to you later on why this is systematically wrong. Or you do what serious people do, I understand, for example, Keldysh in the 1978 by a famous paper, Keldysh-Kozlov, which keep the fermions. There is a more recent work by Chapnikov from the Gimmer-Gimmer interaction, where he did not bosonize, so he played with these four animals. And if you want to put all these interactions on these four animals, usually it's heavy numerics, and you get a number, and you are very happy. Of course, in fact, there is, behind these two pairs, the idea that most probably those two pairs, those four fermions, can be seen as two pairs of fermions. And if you think this way, then the binding energy is essentially the binding of each pair, minus something if you have some kind of attraction between the pair. So in that case, working with pair, you only concentrate on the relevant small quantity that you want to determine. When you start with playing with the four fermions, you already have to find this number, which is without interest because you know it is there. And then to do it really carefully, and because the quantity you want, which is the one you would like to calculate, is on the difference. So if in this procedure you estimate not very well already the binding of each pair, then this will be affecting the result you look. So okay, playing.
Just to get the background, that's all in 1D, right?
What?
That's all in one dimension.
No, no, and no, three dimension, two dimension, trapped, what is it? You don't care. No, no, it's not 1D. I look at a pair. For the moment, dimension does not appear. It will appear later on, but yeah. Okay, imagine hydrogen atom. Okay, so here it can be a molecule or maybe an unbound state for a molecule, but it's the dimension you want. So, okay, and then, of course, serious people used formalism which exists, which they want to keep as the fermions. So for one pair, it's trivial, it's a repeated interaction between two fermions. Feynman diagram shows that, this is easy. And for two pairs, immediately, let's say N, two pairs already is a jungle, and essentially no. So to play with Feynman diagram and standard formalism is not nice. But then you ask, why this has never been done? Why people have never played with the composite object in itself? The reason is because this is difficult. So always, otherwise they will have done it. So the major difficulty comes from the fact that it is impossible to define a potential between two composite bosons in a clean way. In fact, people in bosonization procedure pretend they do it, but what they do is dirty. And in the case of the semiconductor community, there was some bosonized exciton Hamiltonian, which does probably 1970-something. And it was so silly and so wrong that the Hamiltonian is not Hermitian, and nobody had seen it for 30 years. So they were very happy, fitting experiment, everything you can imagine, but with an Hamiltonian, which is complete nonsense. So when I arrived with this idea that I showed was complete nonsense, you realize the good friend I got in this community. But whatever, bosonization is very dangerous and should not be done. So why this is difficult? Because imagine that you again have only two pairs. You have two ways to bind them. So those objects you want to play with are very badly defined because you don't know how to associate, since the fermions are indistinguishable. So in fact, what you will call interaction is between alpha 1 and beta 2 if you see them bound this way, but it will be between alpha 1 and beta 1 if you see it bound this way. So there is no way to define a potential cleanly. So you can define it always in a dirty way, it's always your choice, but it can be dangerous, and I was not ready to do it. So if you don't have potential between composite boson, then all the formalism based on Gris function and perturbative expansion and Feynman diagram fail. So all this stuff you cannot use. Or you play with this jungle of Feynman diagram. So if you want to keep this composite boson stuff, you require a new formalism and a new diagram completely. So you have to invent from scratch something. And the point is always not clear, how can you invent it? So in order to have some guess of what should be invented, you have to think seriously what an interaction is. Because I tell you, it's not possible to define a potential for interaction between two composite bosons, but still, how can you understand the composite boson interact? So if we go back to things we know, which is elementary particles, this is quite easy. You have two elementary particles in state I and J. They enter in a box, they interact by some mean, and they end up in two different states. If the potential is a standard, for example, Coulomb potential, you destroy them and you create them in K1 plus Q and K2 minus Q, and you represent this interaction by the initial state here, K1, K2, the interaction, and the final state. And of course, this interaction, which is important for the rest, is an energy-like quantity because the potential appears in the Hamiltonian. So all the prefactor has to scale like an energy. This little comment explains why it is impossible not to bosonize exciton. You are sure to fail and get wrong result just by that aspect. So now you play with composite particle. So if you have only one composite boson, it is trivial. You have the repeat interaction between alpha and beta, and then this composite boson give a bound or unbound state, which can be hydrogen atom, exciton, atomic dimer, or whatever, and I'm going to represent it as a double line. And now the question is, what is the interaction between two composite bosons? So the idea is you have two composite bosons, again, in state I and J. They enter in this box and end up in other state M and M. So you have to imagine what can occur here. So one thing is rather obvious is, of course, since these particles have interaction between their fermions, then you have interaction between two fermion alpha, two fermion beta, and also two interaction between fermion alpha and beta. So this is what can happen in the box. Another possibility is they can just exchange their carrier, or their fermions, without interaction, because this already, you realize that they see each other by some mean, which is fermion exchange. So the question now is, you have a box, and the box, in this box, these two composite bosons can have two things. They can what I call a coup de foudre, so basically in French it's a flash of lightning, which is, I think, nicer than what you find in the dictionary, which love at first sight, which is not that strong, that lightning here. So what happened is they can just feel each other immediately by exchange, which comes from the polyexclusion principle, and end up in two other states like this. Or they can, like here, as what I call have a faithful talk, where there is some kind of interaction, and in the end, they stay made by, as before, in same couple. So this quantity contains Coulomb interaction, so it is homogeneous to an energy. And this quantity, you have to realize that it contains nothing, so it is dimensionless. So this kind of process here, you cannot even imagine how to put it in an Hamiltonian. So that piece, if it appears in physics, and I will then give you a lot of examples in which this is true, if it appears in physics, then you cannot find it by any bosonization means. So now you can have also a mixture of a talk and a coup de foudre. So either you have interaction before and then a change, or you can also invent that you have a change before an interaction, which you can just say that it, you know, if a succession of interaction a change or a change interaction. So it, again, Andrewian argument, it is something you should appear in a survey. So, in fact, you have at hand now three kinds of energy-like scattering, direct and a change. And one-dimensional scattering, which is novel in the sense that, you know, scattering normally you expect it to have a dimension of an energy, and this one does not. So the point is, how can you do that? So now I go to Shiva diagram and the meaning I had. For the moment, I have not written any equation. So again, I start with a composite particle which is made of two fermions, and so these two particles can just maybe before, during their interaction, separate themselves into their two fermionic components, and what can happen when I separate them. So one possibility, if I have only two and they expand, that one simple thing is to have a diagram like this in which I have just a carrier exchange. Now this is easy to extend. If I have three composite bosons and I want to make a change between three, the diagram a little bit more complicated than the preceding one between three now have this shape. And of course, you can also do it for N. And I have to give a name to a diagram like this, of course, and I had try to find. And I looked at he had many, many arms, like the Indian god. So I decided I'm going to call this kind of diagram Shiva diagram. I had to give the name. So now you may think, if this diagram appears, or this process appears, mathematically, what is the quantity which would be associated to it? So you can say, okay, here I have just an exchange. So if I have an exchange, I expect the initial state most probably to appear through their wave function, I and j. The final state appears through their wave function, m and n, okay, probably conjugate. And then the variable inside, how I read them. So m is, I is made with fermion alpha 1. And here n is made with alpha 1. Why here I is made with beta 1. And here n is made with beta 2. Okay? And of course, I sum over all the dummy variables. So this quantity, in principle, if the physics is associated with pure exchange, it has to be related to this integral, which I can calculate. And this quantity is dimensionless, and that part, to make it appear in the formalism, is really the original part of this formalism. How can you generate something in which you have no interaction? So I go on. And then I have this other interaction scattering that I said they can interact through their fermion. So in that case, I have the initial state. And in the end, I get, if it's a direct process, the final state are made with the same pair. And I have the four interactions. And if this quantity appears, it should be associated to some mathematical result. And what should be this mathematical result? It is a wave function I made with alpha 1 and beta 1. M, which is also made with alpha 1 and beta 1, and the same for the other one. And I write the interaction between the two alpha, between the two beta, and between an alpha and the other beta. So if something like this appears in the physics, I guess, then it has to be associated to this interval, which I can calculate knowing the wave function. Okay, so you probably think that this is, you know, unweaving argument, and too nice to be true, because I just say you have just to write and it works. Okay, so the formalism actually behind this, and this is what I did first, behind this there is a pure algebra. And this formalism for composite boson is the one now I'm going to show. So you have only four key equations, and only four, to derive all the many body physics between two fermions. So what are they? So I have composite particles which are made of two fermions. So the two fermions have this creation operator. So I can, and I construct the creation operator for the correlated pair, which is in linear combination with a weight, which is a wave function of the state of interest on that free pair basis. So this is an object which is well defined, depend on the binding. If you have Coulomb interaction or hydrogen with hydrogen atom of exciton, that you know what it is. If it's cold gases in which you have only interaction between alpha and beta, this overlap is something different. But formally, this is the overlap you have here. Okay. So now, how can you make appear fermion exchange? So you have this quantity that you know. So this quantity, actually, this composite boson is a boson. Why? Because if you calculate the commutator of two creation operators, you get zero, like for standard boson. But now if you get the commutator of destruction and creation operator, you get zero and one, like for elementary boson, but you have something else that you can calculate. You just do that, and it's three lines, and you get the right-hand side. And this right-hand side, I give it a name because all the story comes like that. And that, when I start, that was written in the literature. Everybody has calculated that quantity. And then people were stupidly, in my sense, saying that this operator is small. Of course, an operator is never small. It can be small in mean value under certain circumstances, but the operator itself is not small. So the good idea I had is to take this operator and to calculate another commutator with the creation operator. And because this operator is homogeneous nothing, because I destroy as much as I create, the right-hand side of this corresponds to create a pair, which I can always write as creating a composite boson. And I have a prefactor here. Do you guess what can be this prefactor? I go backward. Huh? just to tell, okay. I'm trying to recover that quantity by algebra. So now I'm trying. So I do algebra, so of course, the right-hand side, you will say, no problem, you do it by hand, of course. And actually, first time, I did it by hand, and I got this quantity. But physically, what could be there? No one has an idea?
Most likely a coup de foudre.
What? What you say?
Most likely a coup de foudre diagram.
Yeah. So the idea is, anyway, here, you know, you have no Coulomb interaction in this mess. Okay? What you do is you are trying to say, you know, the fact that it's not exactly a boson is appearing here. And where the fact that your composite boson is not exactly a boson is because it can make fermion exchange with another guy. So at that level, if something has to happen, it has to be associated to the fact that it's not an elementary boson, and this is seen through the possibility to have fermion exchange. Okay, so it's clear that with those, you can make this calculation, yeah? And you get the number here, okay, the quantity. But without doing it, it's clear that, you know, this quantity here is an exchange, and of course, you can exchange two things. You can exchange a fermion alpha or a fermion beta, because this is two possibilities which can happen between them. So here, when you make a calculation, you find only two terms. For the two kinds of exchange, those two fermions can have. Okay, and more than that, because you do algebra, you can also, in fact, this, you can say it's diagram, but what appears here is integral and function and everything. You do calculation. And actually, when you do calculation, you find exactly what I said was obvious before, so you end up by that piece. It's not that astonishing, because here enter, in fact, this prefactor here. Okay? So because you have this prefactor coming in the calculation, you end by having it at the end, which is here. So pure algebra give you something which, after years, and once the diagram have been seen, because the first time I did the calculation, I had not invented the diagram, so diagrams are useful when you to understand, but I did not have them, then you get the correct answer. As usual, when you do exact calculation, you get correct answer, even if you understand nothing, which is a good stuff about calculation. So now I would like to make appear something linked to interaction. So how this can be done? So I consider a composite boson, which is eigenstate of the Hamiltonian for one pair. And now I would like to consider interaction with this pair. So what I do, I imagine a state which contains a composite boson I plus something. And I have the Hamiltonian acting as this. So what term I expect on the right-hand side? I can have the energy of this composite boson. I can have the energy of the rest. And most probably I have another term, which is not obvious here, which is the interaction between this composite boson and the rest. So I have a piece here. And this is this piece which I would like to calculate many body with composite boson. So just by this comment, I realize that HB dagger minus B dagger H. So I am led to think that it is a good idea to calculate the commutator of the Hamiltonian with a composite boson. I could say, okay, I do that and I find. But the argument is why I was led to think that it was a good idea to calculate the commutator. So the idea comes from that, and then I calculate the commutator, and I get a right-hand side algebra. And in this right-hand side, I want to have this piece, which is the obvious piece, and I have another piece. And this other piece, I have to give it a name, and I call it creation potential. Okay, this is some other animal. And it is homogeneous to the creation of a pair. And the good idea I had was to take a second commutator of this creation operator with the creation of a pair. And then on the right-hand side, I have now two pairs, one which corresponds to this and the other one I put. So on the right-hand side, I have two pairs of fermions, two composite bosons. And I have a prefactor, again, I can calculate it, obviously. And what is now this prefactor? Probably you are better to guess. What can be this prefactor?
Yeah, Here's a diagram.
The other diagram. So in fact, this is this diagram corresponding to the four interactions. So I do heavy algebra, yeah, and I get it. And I got it not exactly like diagram first. I got it like this. So I have the four interaction, and I see appearing this overlap, because those come from the four, the two in composite boson, the two out composite boson, which I have put here. Okay? So I calculate this, and I end by the two other ones. So it's normal that I have the wave function of the four composite boson. And because the Hamiltonian contain interaction between everybody, I get this. So if you have cold gases, the two first terms disappear. And if you have just Coulomb interaction, you keep the fourth term. So it's true that guess is supported by pure algebra. So now...
No, that's an exact statement.
What?
The statement of this... of this commutator is an exact statement.
Yes.
Okay.
Everything is exact. I start by guess.
Pardon?
I started by guess to make people feeling what I was... Physics has two things. You know, I'm a mathematician, actually. So I do essentially math. But I live with experimentalists who don't like to understand my math. So I've used, during the last 50 years, to do everything by hand. But of course, I am afraid to do things by hand. So usually I do heavy math, and then I explain by hand the things I am sure of. So here is math.
No, but the statement was exact or it's perturbative?
Oh, no, it's exact. 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 Everything is exact. I will give you a number, you will see the exact. So take it more simply here. I will show you. I will tell. Okay. Here, this is known. Okay? This is known. So you imagine that I can calculate this commutator. I can calculate the D. I put equal. From that D, I can calculate this commutator. Everyone in this room can. And so I get equal, and I get something here. So it's equal. It's not perturbative. And this here animal is this a change. This a change in a sense that it is this.
Yes, but then to calculate anything useful, you have a diagrammatic equation that you have.
No. Okay, let me do many body after that. I just construct slowly. I can do many body. I am going to show you many body. No problem. I will. I come from many body physics, so I of course I like many body. But you know, before many body, two is nice. Of course, you don't believe me. It's clearly you among the people that it says too nice to be true. But now these 15 years, I don't know, 50 papers more or less, and I can tell you it really works and it's serious. But it look magic is true, that is very new, so most people don't like what is too new. So now another thing to see if you can expect something. So I told you there is two kinds of animals, a pure exchange or an interaction, and possibly a mixture. Okay? So now let's consider a pure exchange in which you start with two ground states, let's say exciton or hydrogen atom, and you end by these two also ground states. This quantity, you expect it scale how? So scaling means I don't care about the prefactor, which I am going to give, because of course I know how to calculate this, because I know how it is. I will get it from this. Okay? So as you imagine, I can calculate it. Okay? But a calculation is something, and understanding goes through more through guess. Okay? So the right here, what you guess. What happened in this story? You have two ground state guy. A ground state guy, let's say an exciton, for example, in fact, is an animal which is a center of mass plane wave, and it has a size which is a Bohr radius. Okay? So now I want to have interaction between two of those, which is two plane waves, each of them having a certain relative motion size. And the first process describes a change, pure change. So do you think that this pure change is going to appear to give rise to which kind of term? Algebra will give it to me. So as you imagine, the calculation can be done. But you can say, you know, you have two animals like this. And the change for them to change something in when they overlap. Because here they have no chance to change anything. So when they overlap, they have a chance to change something. And what is the overlap? Is the size divided by the way they are delocalized. So I expect the right-hand side to be in fact, the size, the volume of this object over which they overlap, divided by the sample volume, because the center of mass is delocalized. And I can, of course, I tell you, calculate exactly the stuff. And for ground state in 3D, the prefactor here is 30 pi over 2. So it's what they are running me. This 30 pi over 2, you can say it's big, because, you know, it's 30, it's not 1, but still. Roughly speaking, what is important here in particular is the volume, because from this volume you get density effect. So it's important that you have one of the volume, because this is going to be multiplied by n in physical effect. So I get volume and density effect coming from that volume. Okay, the 33 for experimentalists can be important if I invent an effect and the prefactor is in the other way, that can be not observed. But physics is still by the letter. So now that you know this information, what do you expect here?
So here you assume that you have a binding energy, it has some width.
I imagine two hydrogen atoms. Zero, in this zero state, ground state. Okay, so an hydrogen atom is in fact in quantum limit is an object which has a Bohr radius, okay, for relative motion, and the center of mass is a plane wave. And now I have two hydrogen atoms, okay, 0 degree quantum state, and then I am expecting the chance for them to exchange something without interaction. Okay, so they have a chance to exchange their proton or their electron when they overlap. So that the calculation, because the calculation to get this prefactor, of course, it goes through calculation. It's not invented that. Okay. But this piece here, you can invent, because the physics is exchanged. So you think, OK, it's reasonable that they can exchange a carrier by the chance they overlap. And if they are large, they will have more chance to overlap. So that they will get an effect which depends on the size of the relative motion.
What kind of binding potential do you assume?
Okay, they want. I say it works for. Then I will go. I work for hydrogen atom or excited Coulomb.
Typical number.
No, but I will. Okay, number and physical effect. Come. Here, the number is 30 pi over 2.
AB is a typical length scale.
Okay, no. That, for example, if your hydrogen atom is 0.5 angstrom.
No, I'm not talking about the value. I'm talking what is AB.
Bohr radius of the object.
Of the object, of the band, it did this, of this band state.
Yeah, the object. So it depends. If it's Coulomb, it is something. If it's cold atom, it is something. If it's Cooper pair, because I'm going to expand it.
What I mean is that it doesn't depend on the features of this band state. It can be like exponential.
No. I go to ground state. Of course, it will change if I take dot ground state, I get something else. I go from ground state. I give you an information for ground state. I can calculate for excited state. I can calculate for anything because I know.
And you assume that it's an exponential. Okay,
no, I take the ground state of hydrogen atom, for example. Ground state of hydrogen atom is known. Ground state of exciton is known.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And if I take another subject, if I work in cold atom physics, I do something else.
Okay.
But okay, I give.
So, just to have the intuition, let's assume that we look at excitons. And
not always, because I'm going to Cooper pair later on.
Huh?
I'm going to Cooper pairs.
Okay, so that's it.
Okay, wait.
So it's other bosons. Now you want to look for a condensate.
Not yet. Let me slow. I'm slow. You go to. I'm going to condensate. I'm going to dark exciton condensate. I'm going to condensate becoming gray. I'm going to do a lot of things. But let me start. Okay? Let me start. Here, you know, I do things. I always start by ground stuff because I want to be secure, mostly in the complicated problem like Bose-Einstein condensation of composite bosons. Okay? That people say a lot of things, but we have to discuss. Okay, so let's say, so I have just identified two objects, which are these two objects, and then I have also guessed their shape. So this, and here, the difference here, I tell you what it is missing, it's an energy-like quantity, okay? And this energy-like quantity, the only prefactor scaling is the binding energy, which is the Rydberg. So when you calculate this quantity analytically, you can. And it turned out that for the exchange term, a direct term like this one, this quantity actually is zero, because for Coulomb, at least, you have attraction between two fermions, identical fermions, is as large as repulsion between electron and hole. So for the direct process, this is zero. But if you now put, you know, an exchange in the, after that, you can calculate this quantity. And this quantity, because it is exchange, contains a minus one, and it contains a 26 pi over 3. And since you are Gaussian, most probably you know or you remember that there is a wonderful number appearing in a Keldysh-Kozlov paper in 60-70-something, in which you have a 13 pi over 3, which appear miraculously. And Nozier and Schmidt-Rigg managed by putting one half somewhere without understanding too well, getting back the 13 pi over 3 of the Keldysh master, which was very interesting, where our Nozier, you know, he wanted to get it back and coming from nonsense without seeing what it is, and recovering the 13 pi, which is not 13 pi over 3, is not invented, as you can imagine. And what is this 13 pi? It's just, you know, Coulomb exchange between two ground states. But never, nobody have understood what it was, but it is number. They did it by an incredible way, and you cannot understand the physics associated, but still. So let's move on. Okay? So then for composite boson, I can do physics of this by just, not complicated, just four commutator, two which give me, you know, pure exchange without interaction, and the other two give me interaction without exchange. And with all this, I play. So when I play, I say, okay, I want you to just think about four exercises. What time is it? So how do you think you could calculate the first quantity?
Well, it has some delta IM and IN and then some DMs.
So this is what I give you. Now are you going to calculate the first one?
First one.
So here I'm interested in calculating. I want to calculate V, B, M. Do you have light to see something? B, M, B, croix, B, dagger I, B, dagger J, on volume, vacuum. Okay? And I have commutator. So I have to put the commutator in the story. So there is one way. This guy, I write it like this, commutator, and I have plus B dagger I, Bm. So this commutator gives me delta Mi, and yes, that's the first commutator. Okay? So then I get, I can put that up. It's not what I want. Stop! Disaster. Screen up. Okay. I want screen up.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. You have space.
Yeah, but they don't see because of that guy. I want to put it up.
This up?
Yeah. So here it is, because you know that I could have done just blackboard stuff. And usually when I give lecture on this, I bring paper and pencil for the people in the room to do that themselves, like a student, and they learn. After that, they know how to do it. So I have this piece. So I have V, and I have a part which is delta Mi. Okay, and I have a part which is Bn delta Mi minus dmi. Plus B dagger I B M, and this acting on B dagger J. So how we do that? So this piece here with that piece is trivial, because it's a scalar product of an exciton by another one, and this gives me
just itself. I mean, the first term is just the scalar.
Delta. So I have first term, which is delta Nj. It's clear? Yes? Okay, so then I have another piece, which is minus, which is V B N D M I B W J D, and the last term, which is V B M B W I B N B W J V. So this gives me what? I have a coboson J, and I destroy it if it's the same, because they are complete basis. Okay? So this gives me delta Mj. And this, so I destroy. So I have now a coboson I, and I destroy it. So this gives me
delta
Ni. So I have this and this. Delta Mi, delta Nj, plus delta Ni, delta Mj. And I have this animal in the middle. But how I will make use of what I do? Another commutator. So that piece, I write it like this. B dagger J plus B dagger J D am M. So that piece will bring me lambda term, and that piece, so I have not shown because I was too fast, that this deviation operator on vacuum gives you, it's possible to show. So in the end, I get the term, which and by being this, and I will explain how to do it by hand, MNJI, this is what I found. And this is obvious, why? Because what I'm actually doing is I have composant I, composant J, entering in the box, and ending is M and N. Okay. So what can happen in the box? Nothing. Faithful stuff. So I have this possibility. I, J, M, N, or N, M, which is a two term here. M is equal to I, or M equal to J. So one possibility is they stay as couple. Like elementary boson, they stay couple, married in a Catholic way forever, with male and female, nothing of it, all time, okay, 18th century, the things you want. And then you have another possibility is that they change couple, they are open, modern, even not married, anything you want. So what happened is then those two guys, okay, I and J, can do this. And you have again M and N, but since they are indistinguishable, you can have N and M. And since it is an exchange, you have a minus sign. So what you find by algebra, which is, you know, this two delta term plus a lambda which come from D, come in fact just by diagram with what you expect, that you have either direct process or exchange process. So now I go back with what the blackboard is. Can you bring it back?
Screen?
Yeah, screen again. So of course, now you understand very easily how I can do this. Because first I calculate the commutator of H and B dagger. I have creation potential, and I will turn the machinery, and I can make this calculation. And here, how I do between this and this, they are very similar. I can also construct a formalism by repeating the scale, the commutator. Okay? And of course, this one is also following this by repeating. So now I stop with this kind of exercise. The right-hand side, you expect what? If there were elementary boson, you will get factorial n. Okay? The normalization of n photon is factorial n. But because of you have composite boson, most probably the scalar product is not the same. Okay? And it turns out that you can calculate, so I give a name to this not the same, that I call it calculated Fn. And it turns out that at the beginning it was a shock. Actually, it was my first paper on this formalism. It was a shock because when you calculate it, well, that you can do, it's not, I expect at the beginning to have something 1 plus something of the order of a corrective density term, you know, small correction. No, it is exponentially small. And then, I know it's normal, etc. It's an effect which is systematic in all composite bosons. It's an effect which I call Mossington effect. Each time you add a pair to a certain amount of pair, you already have a number of states occupied. So the new combination you add to the previous one has one less state to enjoy to make the best state. So more and more combination you put, less and less available state you have inside this combination due to polyblocking, and this decreases, in fact, the overlap that you will have expected. So, in fact, from this, you can calculate the Hamiltonian mean value, which is the ratio, and you get some right hand side. I have actually, just by fun, because we like math, so we had calculated two more terms with crazy prefactor like this. And this term, for example, for those who have learned or remember some work by Keldysh-Kozlov and also Nozier-Schmittring, they got that prefactor for the energy. I do. Of course, those they don't have, because at higher order they were dead. It's already so complicated for them to get this that to have any hope to get more, zero. But this term here corresponds to have a carrier, an interaction followed by carrier exchange. And the prefactor here contains the ratio for this overlap multiplied by the number of objects. And this quantity is proportional to the density of composite boson. And it is, in fact, a dimensionless quantity. So the many-body physics of this, for example, N-hydrogen atom system is controlled by this. That I understand, because as I said before, you know, I have a chance to have interaction when those particles delocalize over L just overlap, and if I have N of those, the chance to have interaction is multiplied by N. So when I got this number, I was happy. But then, of course, little bit later, I tried to understand what happened for Frenkel exciton. So now I will explain the difference, because probably you don't know. So, merde. Ne pas envoyer, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Aïe, aïe, aïe.
Ne pas envoyer, c'est bon.
Ne pas envoyer. Ouais, yeah, but, yes. Ah, devoir envoyer, c'est bon? T'as déjà eu ça, toi?
Non, j'utilise ça à
Oui, Roland m'a dit qu'il faudrait que je... Non, ça va. Qu'il faudrait que je fasse du PDF, là, je sais pas quoi. Mais bon. Alors, attends. Non, mais ça y est, j'ai trouvé ce qu'il fallait. Attends, ça va peut-être apparaître. Voici. Super. Oui, bon, alors, donc, ça, c'est l'exciton de Vanier... OK, French, I have to switch to English. Vanier exciton are made with... OK, you take an electron in the deep valence band, you send it in the conduction band, you replace the valence band by a hole, and you have repeated interaction to create, OK, an exciton. So this is what they call Vanier exciton. But there is another set of excitons that people love in organic material, in which, in fact, the story is more like a set of atoms. The overlap between wave function of relevant state is very small. So it's essentially tight bending approximations type. So you have normally two levels for your atomic state. And you get an exciton because among the Coulomb interaction you have, one process recombine a pair on a site and create it on another site. So a Frenkel exciton, instead of being a linear combination of electron and hole with momentum k alpha and k beta, is a linear combination with excitation of a given site. Okay? So if you do calculation with this, and I tell you I can do any calculation, I get something. So first, why I did that? Because, you know, a Frenkel exciton, due to time bending approximation, there is no wave function extension. So for those who were just bothered about what the extension was doing, apparently, I say, okay, if I go to Frenkel and there is no size, okay, because the electron is on top of the hole, so I have no spatial extension, then this parameter should be zero. And it is not zero because I still have many-body effect. And the many-body effect enters through a number, which is in fact the number of sites. I don't know what it is, okay. Which is in fact the number of sites here in the problem. So I have a certain amount of tides, and this is the number of sites. And then I turn to Cooper pair, which is another kind, another potential, another everything. And Cooper pair, I have to understand again rapidly. In the BCS problem, what you have is you have what's so called a normal electron Fermi C, and you claim that there is an interaction, or at least you assume that you're interested in an interaction on a phonon side, on both sides of the normal electron Fermi C. So, and this interaction is taken as interaction between two upspin and downspin electrons with zero momentum pair, going to another set of zero momentum pair. And in order to approach this story, in fact, the good way is to add, of course, the real physics is to have all this amount of added electron to the kernel which does not fill the potential. But the standard, okay, I will say the old time way, the one that Cooper has used and made his name so famous, is to just first take one pair and then two pair and just up to this number of pair. So in fact, I have a problem in which I have a size of an extension for the potential. In this potential layer, I have a certain amount of state available for pairing, and I put 1 to n pair. And when I calculate many-body effect with this, I get a parameter. It's a parameter here for Cooper pair, which is the number of Cooper pair multiplied by the number of the available state for pairing. So it turned out that there is one unique understanding for the many-body parameter for composite object, which is the total number of the object you have at hand divided by the maximum number of the object you can have. So for that is the number of sites, it's obvious. For this is the number of states in the potential layer, is obvious. And here also is obvious, because L cube over the Bohr radius cube is in fact when these particles just, you know, start to overlap. And you know that when you have hydrogen atom or exciton starting to overlap, you destroy them and you create an electron hole plasma. So in fact, this number here is also the inverse of the maximum number of exciton you can have. So in fact, the many-body parameter for all kind of composite object has to be understood as a number of objects divided by the maximum number of excitation states you have at hand to construct your many-body object. So I will probably stop soon because I, of course, am late. So I wanted to show some wonderful results I have found, in fact, with respect to Cooper pair, which is, I said that I am able to construct this many-body parameter. How? Because I was able to calculate the exact value of the energy of n Cooper pair added to this region where you have no interaction. The interaction is between on both sides of the Fermi C, so the particle in the middle don't feel the potential. So when you have this situation and you add pairs, it's possible to calculate the energy. And this exact expression of the energy is L times the energy obtained by Cooper, and plus a piece, and nothing else. So this is one of a very few exactly solvable many-body problems. And this sigma is, in fact, the famous exponential behavior that you find in all textbooks. So how I did that? In fact, I did that because Richardson and Gaudin, just for you to know, a few years after Bardeen, Cooper, Schrieffer, have showed that the Hamiltonian, which was used in BCS superconductivity, is one of the very few Hamiltonian for which exact solution can be obtained. And in fact, they showed that the energy of n pair is a sum of n parameters, which are solution of this coupled equation. So that is incredible step already, because this is the exact solution. The trouble is, that was done 50 years ago. The trouble is, though, these equations are highly pathological, and to solve them is difficult, both analytically and numerically, because there is a lot of pole. Those quantities are complex, and numerically, to go beyond a number of pairs above 100, which is very small in the thermodynamical limit, you know, numerically you are dead. So it turned out that we have been able to solve this problem by various means now, and the exact solution is this one. which has impressed Cooper because he could not believe it. This work works with the result you obtain in the BCS limit. It works for one pair, and it is proven to be exact. It's not expansion. It is not an expansion because I also get that quantity, so it's okay. So I now just 2 minutes. I will say a few things. I want first to say that it turned out that I can. Of course, I was interested after that in composite fermions. So composite fermion is more or less the same. It was a bit frightening, so I wait maybe 7-8 years before starting because you have 3 guys instead of 2. And so you can construct diagram similar. So you expect something like this, but you expect also diagram like this and also diagram like this because you have explosion between 3. So I have to give a name to this one, so I get also Kali is a goddess and not nice. So those diagrams are not nice. So I call them Kali diagrams. But you can manipulate them. And you manipulate them in the same way. You know the linear combination for a composite fermion. So you can calculate anti-commutator, because you are in front of fermions, so they don't commute, they anti-commute, and you get a formalism similar, in which from the prefactor here you calculate, you get the diagram you expect. And for the interaction, you get, again, anti-commutator and commutator, and you get that stuff that you expect. So now you get the Bede-Bede formalism for composite fermions by 3 anti-commutators and 2 commutators. Okay, and now I have also extended to finite temperatures, so I have a formalism which again is not Matsubara formalism, but another kind because nothing works like before. But so I have now everything at hand to face the calculation of Bose-Einstein condensate for exciton. So physical effect, now it's 1 hour, so I may stop. This was all these effects which are listed here were predicted and experimentally seen. So not only you can make algebra, but mostly, which is for experimentalists more important, you can guess results and construct, imagine something, and estimate the value. So I don't know if you give me 5 minutes to give an example, or I stop here. I can stop. I can give you just one example, as you want. So one example is based, everything is based on the fact that when you transform a photon into a pair, you conserve momentum and you conserve spin, which is trivial. Okay? So I will speak of spin precession. So you have a spin which is trapped somewhere, and you send a photon, which is unabsorbed. So photon does nothing. So it means that the effect I'm going to describe stops when the unabsorbed photon beam disappears. And then if the unabsorbed photon is circularly polarized, then I have a precession of the spin. Why? Again, so what happened? Why? Because the spin has a projection on the propagation axis of the photon, which is a certain amount plus and certain amount minus. And if I manage to have a physical effect which tells me that the energy of the plus and minus component are not the same, then I will find that actually I will a precession because it will turn. So in fact, I understand and I find a processus in which if I start with a photon, okay, and I have a speed of, if I have a photon which is unabsorbed and with sigma plus here, he can have a change only with minus one half part of the trapped electron. But if he has plus one half and minus one half, can have also Coulomb interaction between the two. So here, by this exchange process, which is always the same one, I can differentiate the plus one half from minus one half component using a circularly polarized photon. And due to this, I can even calculate, you know, the prefactor and estimate the precession period. The precession period, I need an inverse of a time difference. So what is the shift associated by this process? I have 2 interactions, photon coupling, a lambda, which is an exchange, I have a photon number because I can make this exchange between any of the photon, non-absorbent photon, and because I want a quantity which is proportional to an energy, this is an energy, dimensionless, I need another energy in the denominator, which is a detuning. And in addition, I see that, which is physically reasonable, I need to have an effect which depends on the photon density. And I do have that because in this scattering here, as you said before, we have something which depends on the size of the exciton volume divided by sample volume. So I will have the sample volume with the number which gives me the exciton density. And if I put number, I get 1 picosecond. And all things are like this, so you, okay, I can make it more precisely, but you draw the physics, you estimate it by counting where are the coupling. Usually the matrix element is roughly 1, anyway, I can calculate it as well. And so I can predict effect, all these effects which were here. In particular, I predict, which was something which was a bit a shock, this is that, you know, people have looked for exciton condensate for decades, and I gave up. That is why all those people talk of polariton now, because they love polariton. But the story about exciton condensate is just beginning, because in fact they look for condensate as a bright line, and it turned out that exciton condensate in a dark state. So in order to see it, you have to just change your mind and find an indirect way to evidence a dark condensate. So first I have to trap it, because this helps. So I have found an optical way to trap dark exciton, even if they are tracked, they feel photon, and also optical way to see them. You see them, of course, in an indirect way, it's not luminescence. Okay, so I'm going to thank you for all the talk. Yeah.
I'm somewhat confused with this, because let's assume that we talk about the gas of rubidium atoms.
What you say, rubidium atoms?
Rubidium atoms.
Anyone.
Okay. And then you use basically, and typically it's dilute. And you use the Gross-Pitayevsky.
No, I don't want. Don't Gross-Pitayevsky, I don't lie. No, I'm not going to do anything.
That's fine.
Okay.
You don't lie.
No, I don't lie.
And then the question is, and now in the Gross-Pitayevsky equation, basically there is one quantity that is the scattering length.
Yeah, but who forget that? I can say a lot, you know, about scattering lengths. Scattering lengths, you all cold gas on people love it, including my husband, who love that. I can tell you, it's completely useless. But I can calculate it.
You let him finish.
No, but I know. I don't need that.
Yeah, but the question, but experimentalists that love it said it is with experiment. And so. What can you propose an experiment where it will show that that equation fails?
Okay, tell you. You probably know, like most people in this room, a work by Chapnikov about the scattering lengths of 2D mirrors. Okay? The famous 0.6 something that many people of you know. Okay? And what he has done is what I said at the very beginning, which is not the clever way. Actually, when the paper was doing, I discussed with him at Jura, and I said, you should not play with four objects like he did. Okay, it's a brute force Schrödinger equation that he solved by him, not him, okay, some co-author, but heavy, to get this 0.6 stuff. The story is, and now I'm going to recover it, I do it with, it's tabac. Yeah, I know, everything like this, you know, it's I have to go back to the very, 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 very first slide. So I know, the scattering lens, now I will have a paper on scattering lens because I know people in cold gases love it. So I have to use their vocabulary to prove that what I do is good and much simpler, but I will. You know, I have to work here. Okay, so you see here, what Chapnikov have done, okay, he has put this machinery. Okay, for him it was easy, he dropped the stuff. For the moment, Roland has reproduced, my husband Roland has reproduced this 0.6 by another mean, with only alpha beta. And I told him, I can do it with alpha beta, I can do it with Coulomb between two electrons, everything, I can do everything. And Roland said, no, I like, but I want my method, because you know, he wants his method. And now he's trying to do this with these two guys. And Roland doesn't know how to do it. Chapnikov, I was not able to boost these two terms. He put this one, okay? And he got machinery to got 0.6, okay? When I tell you, when you start with these two animals, okay, And another mean, you already have the two objects. The only thing you have to pay is to be able to count for a change, which I can do by my lambda. So what, for example, those cold atom people do with this scattering length that is changed from dimer to dimer dimer, from A to 0.6A, 2A to 0.6A, depending if you have Bohr approximation, etc. It's just what I'm able to do. The point is, like Keldysh-Kozlov, Keldysh did a horrible calculation, Nozier-Schmidt-Ring also, to get 13 pi over 3. If you look at what they have done, I know few people who can reproduce it in detail. For me, it's Coulomb exchange. So I think that the cold gases community, the semiconductor community, the exciton community should learn that formalism. Because it gives everything. The concept here is you realize that if you already bind them, you have, you know, instead of the jungle, okay, you have already selected what is making the exciton for free. So this is a new formalism, okay? Some very good, so the bad people are those who get wrong results are those who are bosonized. So the results they got are wrong. The clever people were very good to be able to keep the compositeness. Clever people meaning Jorah, Shapnikov, Keldysh, Nozier, all this. They get results which are correct, but in a very heavy way. And I just propose a new formalism which makes this correct result recovered in a simple way, which is true. But I have to make it clear because, of course, people don't know this formalism. That's all. So, but I can tell you, if you play with composite object and you are able to keep fermion exchange in an exact way, then you are in a much better shape than when they do. So I just, by last transparency, because people say that I should, merde. Ne pas envoyer, tu m'as dit que c'est ça que je vais mettre. Alors, je vais aller à la fin. Je vais quand même essayer de le montrer. Ah, j'ai fait un effort. Attendez, vous pouvez vous lever, mais je voulais vous montrer quelque chose. I want to show you something. I went too fast. The machine doesn't like. Okay. I want to show you this. So, this is first, I have to show the preceding one. That's the Bicorb laborator. So Odile Bedbeder is a former Nozier student, and she's a bit older than me, so she's starting to be really old. And we did all that together. And then this is a physics report in which, a bit old, in which we talk about composon only, at zero degree, no cofermion. And this is the first book on this kind of stuff, where I mixed Cooper pair and exciton and the same many-body formalism. And we had a nice sentence by Cooper himself saying that it is, you don't see, but it's just written here. So Leon Cooper says that now I have reopened. He was very excited when he realized how I could solve this problem exactly, that nobody has solved after him, not him, but nobody else for 50 years or 60 years now. And suddenly, exact solution appeared to the problem. So but this is many body, of course, completely composite boson aspect that you play with. So and then the book now I'm going to prepare is on the many body formalism itself, with composite boson, composite fermion, fan 80.